We're going to share in the scriptures together, and we've got some verses. I did cut some verses out to try and shorten the Bible reading a little bit, because and these verses do repeat themselves. So I've chopped out only three verses, actually, but we're going to look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, and then verses 10 to 30, as we continue our series looking at Daniel. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it for you." The king replied to the astrologers, "Well, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live here among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officers, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who we also know as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the Gentiles, among the exiles from Judah, who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you are lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind." There we go. But you're glad I cut out those three verses now, aren't you? After all that. I've entitled it Feet of Clay, this particular sermon. Although, interestingly, the reference to feet of clay didn't come in that Bible reading. But we are going to briefly at the end just reflect on what the dream was that King Nebuchadnezzar, or King Neb, as a recent preacher spoke of. And I can say it because I think he might be here this morning. So, we are going to think about this passage. The king was an absolute monarch. We haven't had those in Britain for many centuries. Basically, an absolute king was whatever he said went. It didn't matter how fair or unfair it was, that was the word of the king, and that was what would happen. And so when a king made an unrealistic or an unreasonable, cruel decree, it would be carried out. He was an absolute monarch. This king sees something in his dream, but he has no understanding. He has no understanding of what he sees. Now, in verse 37 that we didn't read in this passage, it's a few verses later after we finished our reading. Daniel says, "Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory." It's interesting that he should say that because, of course, as a worshiper of the one true God, the God of the Jews, who we also worship as the one true God, actually, Daniel perhaps more accurately could have said, the God of heaven, he has given you dominion. So he's saying you are the King of Kings, but your dominion, your authority, your might and glory have been given to you by the God of heaven. So this king was an absolute monarch. Nebuchadnezzar had vast earthly wealth, vast power, total authority. But in the end, he was just a human being. And just like you and I suffer sometimes, he had bad dreams. He was plagued in his sleep by this dream that wouldn't go away. And he knew that he couldn't understand it. And the dream was so powerful. I don't know whether you've ever had dreams like this where you wake up in the morning and it's still in your mind. You're still aware of it. And this was the sort of dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, which he had in the night, but actually it stayed with him. He couldn't get rid of it. It was constantly in his mind. He was suffering with these anxieties and night terrors that all of us suffer with sometimes in our life. So being an absolute monarch did not take him out of being a human being. You can't avoid your human experience. despite whatever wealth or power you may have. In 1907, Joseph Stalin, who was the leader that took over after Lenin in Soviet Russia, Joseph Stalin's first wife passed away. At her funeral, Joseph Stalin said, "This creature, this woman, my wife, this creature softened my heart of stone. She has died, and with her died my last warm feelings for humanity." What a sad statement. And what a tragedy for millions of people in the Soviet Union over the decades that lay ahead of them. Any human softness, any humanity, any love and warmth for the people of his country died, he says, with the death of his first wife. His second wife committed suicide. But he was acknowledging there that despite all of his power and authority, he was restricted by the grief and the trauma of losing his wife that destroyed his happiness, but destroyed the lives of millions of other people in that nation with all of the purges that he had right the way through to the end of his life. The king, he sees, but he has no understanding of what he's seeing. He has no understanding of what he's seeing. You see, the king, he says to the astrologers, "If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble." Now that is the decree of an absolute monarch. He's making a threat and he can follow through on it. The king's insecurities, his fears, and his inability to deal with those insecurities and fears turned him into a tyrant. See, any one of us could make threats, but this king had the power and authority to follow through. He could give full rein to his fears. He could terrorize his advisors with these demands that were completely unrealistic, humanly speaking. He was threatening them with a bloodbath unless they could tell him exactly what he had dreamed and then interpreted it. For me, I believe fear is often at the heart of bad decisions. So often bad decisions are made out of fear. I can't read the minds of some of our current world leaders like Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping, but it seems to me that So often when they make decisions that damage their people, that lead them into unnecessary wars or unnecessary conflict or all sorts of things that sow trouble in our world, I think it's so often fear that drives them. Particularly fear of looking weak and fear of looking foolish. And I think these are so often the things that drive bad decisions. But you see, if I make a bad decision, we might not have a very good sermon one week. If Vladimir Putin makes a bad decision, the people of Ukraine pay for it. And I think fear is so often behind these poor decisions that are made. So that's the king. He sees but has no understanding. The royal astrologers, they neither see nor understand. they neither see nor understand. The astrologers answered, in fact, a couple of times, we missed one of them out because it was repeating the same thing, but they basically said twice, may the king live forever. Please tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it. We know our job. You tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means. But that wasn't what the king was asking for. This was not what the king was asking for. You see, these seers, these astrologers, these people who supposedly could see the reality of the political situation at that time and potentially see into the future, they were well used to manipulating the king. They were well used to telling him what he wanted to hear. If the king gave them a dream of his, they could, that's what this means, O king. But he wasn't asking for that this time. Now he wanted that, tell me what I have dreamed, and then interpret it. Well, that was well beyond their capabilities. You see, it's another feature of insecure leaders that they tend to surround themselves with yes men. And perhaps in our current situation, where we have much more equality, with yes women. You don't hear much about yes women, you hear quite a lot about yes men. But basically, I know there are a few out there, there are very few yes women in this church. There may be a few yes men who do exactly what their wives say, and very sensibly as well. But I think there are very few women in this church who are going to be told what to do by anybody. That's my personal experience. I'm going to leave it there. But poor leaders, insecure leaders, tend to surround themselves with people who will tell them what they want to hear. And that was the deal that these astrologers, these magicians, these enchanters had. O king, you tell us your dream and we'll tell you and interpret it for you to puff up your reputation, your pride. That was the deal. And here the king was changing the deal. No, you tell me what I dreamed and then interpret. So these astrologers, they at least had the self-awareness to know when the game was up. They knew there was no way they could do what the king wanted. There's no way they could guess what the king's dream had been. They knew they were completely unable to read the king's mind, let alone give an interpretation of what the king had dreamt. The king saw but didn't understand. The royal astrologers neither saw nor understood. Daniel seeks understanding. In fact, Daniel knows he doesn't have understanding, but he knows a God who understands mysteries. So, in the few verses here that we read a few moments ago, we learn that he got the facts. He got the facts. He went to the king, to the commander of the king's guard, Arioch, and he asked him to explain, why has the king made this really cruel and unfair decree to kill all of his astrologers and seers? Arioch explains. Then Daniel asks for space to pray and prepare himself. So in verse 16, he said to Arioch, please, let me speak to the king and say to the king, give me some time to interpret your dream. He needed time to prepare himself, to come before the Lord and ask for the Lord's interpretation, ask for wisdom and revelation about the nature of the dream, and then to be able to interpret it. Then he gathered his friends and he asked them to pray for God to act on their behalf. As we so often do in church, when difficult times come, we say, can the body Can my brothers and sisters in Christ please pray for me? Pray for us in our various situations. Daniel went back to his friends and asked them to pray. And of course they had some strong motivation to do so, because in verses 17 and 18, Daniel says to them, because 17 and 18, let me just find it. Oh, I've got the wrong verse now. But here we go. 17 and 18, he says, all good things are worth waiting for. Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed. So he's, you know, there was a strong motivation for them to pray, because actually it was their necks that were on the line as well as Daniel's. And so they came together praying. Now, I don't know that I would have been able to sleep when I was, you know, asking God for something like this. And I think it's unlikely that Daniel was able to sleep. And it's interesting, he didn't have a dream about what the king's dream was. He had a vision. And I think he was up all night, potentially with his friends, and they were praying and asking God for revelation. And Daniel waited for God's answer. And when the answer came in the middle of the night, Daniel readily acknowledged that this was God's work. Time and again in those, in the prayer of praise that Daniel prays in verses, 20 to 23, constantly saying, Lord, you are the one that's given this wisdom. I thank you that you've given this wisdom. How do we approach our problems? How do we approach the dilemmas and troubles that come in our lives? I hope we look for understanding. We look for the facts, as Daniel did. I hope we take time to prepare our minds, just some space. Sometimes when something difficult has happened, we just need the space to take it on board, to find that place of peace and just take some space. And then I hope we share it, not necessarily with the whole church, but I hope you have people around you that you can draw about you and say, please pray for me in this situation. Please uphold me as I cope with this difficult circumstance. And then we wait for God's answer. And of course, God's answer is not always what we want it to be. Sometimes God, we get a sense that God is telling us to wait, that the answer is not now. God's time is different to our time frames. And sometimes the answer is a one that is ultimately difficult. We have lost friends within this fellowship over the 5.5 years that I've been a part of this church. Sometimes the answer to prayer is, I'm calling you home. I'm calling you to be with me, for you to see me now as I see you, not through a glass darkly, but face to face. And those are also answers to prayer. Daniel waited for God's answer and acknowledged that the revelation he received was God's to give. So God gives understanding. God gives understanding to Daniel. And in verse 23, Daniel gives God the glory in private. in that prayer that he prays immediately after having received the revelation. He says, I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power and made known to me the dream of the king. He privately acknowledged that it was God's work. But similarly, before the king, and that would have been before the king's court, Daniel says in that public situation, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has shown you, King Nebuchadnezzar, what will happen in days to come. He's saying, the Lord has revealed it to you, and now the Lord has revealed your dream to me, for me to interpret for you. The wisdom and the power comes from God, not from Daniel. And Daniel acknowledges that, both publicly and in private. So, just for a few moments, we haven't read it because it's another 20 plus verses. And I didn't think it was fair to have you here until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. So I'm just going to take you briefly through the dream and understanding the dream that Daniel interprets in these verses that follow on from our reading. So each part of the vision represented an empire ruling the Middle East. And you can see there is the, that's the statue. So this was the vision, the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has. And there are, you can see there's various parts of this statue. So that at the top there is the golden head. That is interpreted by Daniel as, that is the current, rulers, the Babylonians. The golden head. That is followed, as you can see in the picture there, it's followed by the silver chest and arms. That's the Medes and the Persians. And you may have heard sometimes, even today, we talk about the decrees of the Medes and the Persians, you know, the idea being that even the king of the Medes and the Persians, if he'd passed a particular decree, even he couldn't change it. It was, and we still use that as something that can't be changed. We talk about the rule of the Medes, or the law of the Medes and the Persians. So that was the next people that took over, the next empire that took over this area. The Babylonian kingdom was replaced by the Medes and the Persians. Then we have the bronze belly and thighs. And Daniel interprets that as, well, we interpret it as the Greeks who followed on. And then we have the iron legs and the feet. And we think that the next major empire was the Romans. Now, it's interesting we look at all of those because actually, these kingdoms are all of them are sort of there's a diminishing value. You start with gold, then you have silver, then you have bronze, then you have iron, and iron mixed with clay. So it's diminishing in value each time. And the interpretation that Daniel seems to suggest is that actually the absolute monarchy of the Babylonians, and then actually it was a little bit less, so the glory was all focused in the emperor or the leader. And each one of them, by the time you get down to the Romans, actually the interpretation seems to be that they were much more, the authority, yes, was vested in Caesar, but actually it was more diffuse than that. It was, you know, there was an element of having to share power across the empire. But the other thing to say is, gold was soft. Proper gold, pure gold is soft. My wedding ring is actually not very pure gold, because when we were buying our wedding rings, the jeweler said, if you go for really pure gold, it's more expensive and it's softer. And he said, if you go for less pure gold, it's cheaper and it's harder. Well, it was a no-brainer for me. You know, I mean, sort of, you know. So anyway, gold is soft. Silver is less soft. Bronze is harder. And then, of course, iron is very hard, but very brittle. So, and it seems as though Daniel seemed to be saying those things. Now, the one bit, of course, I've missed out is the great rock. So this was the vision. He had this vision of this statue, but then a great rock knocked over the statue and destroyed all of the different elements in the statue. And this great rock, Daniel quite clearly interprets as this kingdom will destroy all of these other kingdoms. And the climax of Daniel's interpretation comes in verse 45 that I just want to read to you. Verse 45 says, "This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not cut out by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy." He says, this rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. In other words, cut out by God as God's instrument, will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Daniel is really giving a future prophecy of the coming of the kingdom of God that will never end, that will undermine and put in position all of those earthly kingdoms that have gone before. Daniel here is giving a clear indication of the coming kingdom of God. So, to finish, I just want you to have a little look at this picture here. This is taken from a Good News Bible that Sandra had when she was in her early 20s. She traveled to a Salvation Army youth convention in the States. And everybody who attended was given a Bible. And it's a Good News Bible. And you know how there was lovely pictures in Good News Bibles. But these were different pictures because it was an American version. And I just love this picture. I'm just going to see whether I can do it now. So if I can point, you can see down here, this is a person at the bottom of a great sort of mountain there. This person knows there is a beautiful garden. That is presumably a lion who needs a haircut by the look of it. Perhaps a lamb, some sort of stork, a beautiful house. And you know, it's a sketch drawing of a beautiful oasis. Of course, the person down below is in amongst the briars and the sort of all of the thorns and stuff. But he or she knows what they hope for. They know there is a place of beauty. They know there is an oasis of beauty and, you know, a land of milk and honey. But faith is believing in it and being certain of the fact that it exists even when we can't see it. That's the nature of faith. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of the things that we can't see, believing that if God makes a promise, we can trust him in that promise. I've always loved that picture. Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel's interpretation given by God, looks beyond the present circumstances of Nebuchadnezzar's empire, his current reign. It looks to a far greater empire, a far greater kingdom, Daniel's words led into hope for what he could not yet see, but believed would come about. Praise God. Amen.